Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, and welcome everybody to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today, one of the biggest stories in quite some time, in a year that there's been a whole lot of really big stories. Reddit revolt and GameStop stock scandal. Did I say that right? GameStop stock scandal exposes massive fraud and collusion between Wall Street and the federal government. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we bring you a veritable cornucopia of end times intrigue that will absolutely blow your ever-loving, Bible-believing, rightly dividing end times mind. It's a bonanza of people, places, and events that show America cracking and crumbling under the weight of the judgment of Almighty God. Since 2009, NTEB has told you about the coming betrayal of America by her elected leaders, and that day has now arrived and is here in spades. We'll not only unravel and explain the Reddit revolt, we will also show you the incredible level of corruption and deceit that the Biden administration has managed to muster up in a mere 8 days. Joe Biden has been an actively serving president now for exactly 1 week and 1 day. And the depth and scale of what is being exposed and played out right before our very eyes is not only astounding, it is nearly too much to catalog and chronicle. From his record-setting executive orders on his first day in office, the radical pro-abortion agenda of this strong Catholic president, all the way up to how the Fed is fraudulently attempting to handle the Reddit revolt with GameStop stock. The wheels have finally come off the bus, all the way off, and then some. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, Proverbs 29:2, the people mourn. The Bible says, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's what's happening here. It is mourning in America. As in M-O-U-R-I-N-G, and America is in deep mourning today. But before we get started, we have a couple of prayer requests that are absolutely essential, and we just need to lift a few people up, and it's good that we have a nice, healthy attendance in the chat room today. We did not do a Wednesday night Bible study. I was battling some germs, and I was also battling some spiritual attacks, as we all do from time to time, and I was just in a place where I needed to pull over and park and let the Lord minister to me, and that's exactly what he did, and that is so important in the day and age that we find ourselves in. Every once in a while, when the battle gets too hot, there is no shame in pulling over and parking for just a little while and letting the Lord nourish you. You remember the prophet Elijah when he went up against the 450 prophets of Baal, and he had this great victory, and then Jezebel sends him this letter, and he spirals into a deep depression, and the Lord took him by the brook Kidron and fed him food from a bird's mouth and restored him and reinvigorated him and got him ready for the next battle. So that's exactly what God did for me on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And today I feel fantastic. I feel stronger than I ever have. And if you have a prayer request today, please, if you have a prayer request, post it into the chat room. And we're just going to start this program by going before the Lord right now and lifting up a few people who desperately need it, again, as we all do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, we commit this time to you, Lord. we commit this time to you, and Lord, you are blessing us with an unbelievable expansion in our global outreach and all the thousands and thousands of people that are coming in now. We have Paula, who's saying hello from France, and that's an amazing thing. We have Maria, who is listening in Brazil. And all around the world, we have new listeners and people coming on board. And God, we just thank you for the increase. And we thank you for every good thing that you do, Lord. We lift up Bunky before you today. I'm not really sure what the need is there, but we know, Lord, that you know the need. Absolutely. So we lift up Bunky before you today. Angelique is saying, my brother has been diagnosed with colon cancer, and he's only 46. So we lift up Angelique's brother before you, God. And Father Angel has a prayer request. She says, my next-door neighbor, Teresa, went off the road avoiding deer and dropped 40 feet down into a ravine and broke her ribs and broke her pelvis, and she's pretty banged up. She also says that her niece is 50 years old, diagnosed with cancer, and she's having a total hysterectomy, plus she has COVID. Wow. That's a serious deal. So Angel has a prayer request for her neighbor in an accident and her niece who is battling cancer and a hysterectomy and COVID. Paula says, please pray for my sister that found out yesterday she has stage 2 bladder cancer and needs chemo and operation. Mark is saying, please pray for salvation for my friend Buddy. He is a Roman Catholic. Well, amen. I was a Roman Catholic before I got saved. God can absolutely save a Roman Catholic. Mark says he's a Roman Catholic. He has started looking at his Bible, and he is asking questions. That's a fantastic thing. Mike 1611, pray for a church building for my church if the Lord doesn't take us home first. So we have all these prayer requests. We have Lori C, our own Lori C, who has some medical issues that she needs to attend to, and she's going to be having surgery 1 week from today. And we lift up Lori C before you today, God, and ask you to guide the doctor and the anesthesiologist that she met with yesterday. We just pray, Lord, that everything for her surgery on Friday will go well, and that you'll watch over that and you'll give a good report. And for all these prayers, Father God, for all these prayers and for all these people that you've gathered here that are part of the NTEB family, we just pray, Lord, your blessing upon all of us. John Doonan is saying, hello, everyone from Ireland. Amen. So we have Brazil, we have France, we have Ireland. Truly a global program today. And he's from Fermanagh in Ireland. My mom's family was from County Cork in Ireland. The Murphy family were there for 200 years before my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother decided to fall in love and get married. She was a Roman Catholic. He was a Protestant. And if you are even mildly familiar with the Protestant-Catholic wars that took place in the early part of the 20th century, you will know why my great-grandparents had to flee Ireland and go to Glasgow, Scotland, where my grandfather was born. And so my mom's family was in Ireland for 200 years, and she was a first-generation American. She was the first Murphy in 200 years in her line to be born here in this country. But John Doonan, I said all that to say this. John Doonan says, could you possibly pray for parental wisdom? Too much to explain, but God knows all of the needs. Amen. He does. He absolutely does. God has all the details worked out. Athena says, pray for my brother as he's just coming back to our Lord Jesus Christ and having issues with anger and drinking. So far he's doing well though, and he's handing out gospel tracts. So we pray for Athena's brother. Shar says, please pray for my husband with a drinking problem. I know that when I got saved in an AA meeting, well, shortly afterwards. But AA is a place where if you struggle with alcohol, AA is a fantastic place to start. And you just make sure that you bring your King James Bible when you go, and I promise you, you'll get a blessing. There's a lot of Bible in the AA Big Book, and I have been to a couple of hundred or so or more AA meetings, and I'm not ashamed of being an alcoholic, but I have been redeemed. I have been born again. I have been washed clean by the shed blood of the Lamb, and by His grace, I'm not an alcoholic today. And God has restored me, and God has given me sobriety. But sobriety without salvation is not much of a gift. And the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Terry is saying, Father, we each have a purpose for your kingdom. Please show us what to do with the gifts that you have given us. And for all of these prayer requests, Lord, Michelle, prayers for me and my mom. I have a COVID test pending. My mom is not well enough to get down the stairs and into the car to get one. And so amen. Amen to all of these prayers. I love the fact that these programs aren't entertainment, even though I do find news and end times prophecy highly entertaining. But it's not entertainment. We are here to be about the Father's business. We're here to be a witness to a lost and dying world. We're here because we know that the war is real and the battle is hot and the time is very, very short. And I am calling you to the fight. I am calling me to the fight. And the Bible says, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he is able. Now, either you believe that or you don't. I believe that. I believe that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. The Bible says that 30 years ago, when I bowed my knees and I bowed my heart and I said, God, save me. Ephesians 1, 12 through 14 says, I was sealed unto the day of redemption. That can't be broken from the outside. That can't be broken from the inside. And it is time, my brothers and sisters, in the NTEB family, that we need to be prepared possibly to go underground. Things, I'm going to show you some things today that's going to blow your mind. You think that the time is short? When this program is done, you're going to realize that we only have half the time that you thought that we had. That's how short the time is. And we have to be prepared. The day is coming. The day is coming when the only church that we're going to be able to have is underground church over the internet. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, and I see the signs everywhere that I look. And that is one reason why God 3 months ago tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to start a Sunday morning worship service. Because we're getting ready to go underground. We're getting ready for persecution. And all these things are going to happen before the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things do not work together for good for you if you are not the called. How do you get to be the called? You answer the call. And what will you do with this man, Jesus Christ? That's the question. If you're not saved, you better stop putting that question off. You need to get saved right here and right now. 30 years ago, I read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe that. I accepted that. I said, God, thank you for making my payment for me at Calvary. That's what salvation is. Salvation is not asking Jesus into your heart. Salvation is understanding that you're a sinner who has created and incurred a sin debt that needs to be paid for, and the only payment that God will accept is the shed blood of his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. has nothing to do with asking Jesus into your heart. You need to understand that you have a sin debt that needs a sin debt payment. We look at the government and they're talking about sending out a $600 payment or a $1,400 payment or a $2,000 relief payment. If you don't have the big payment and the payment of your sin on Calvary's cross by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's the payment that you need to be concerned about. Forget this $600, $1,200, $1,400, $2,000 payment. You got to make sure that you have the real payment. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, there's your payment. There's the gospel that will save your soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, for your sin, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now you may be saying to me, maybe you're a new listener, and you're saying, what does all this have to do with a prophecy news podcast? Well, what I'm giving you right now is the most relevant news that we need to be talking about. This world is under a satanic deception, so much so that we're seeing it within the church. And not just, it's always been in the church, but the church is absolutely coming into the full flower of what Jesus said would be taking place in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There is the professing, born again, saved, redeemed Christian church that Jesus went to the cross to shed his blood to create. The same church that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why do you think the church is taken out? Why do you think the church is removed? One of those reasons is we have no business being in the time of Jacob's trouble. Absolutely correct. Another equally valid reason why the church is removed in the pre-tribulation rapture is because of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Jesus looks at the church. These aren't lost people. The Laodicean church are saved Christians that are, they're not cold, they're not hot, they are that disgusting lukewarm temperature. And Jesus says, I'm going to spit you guys out of my mouth. You don't lose your salvation. How can you be sealed unto the day of redemption and then lose your salvation? That's not possible. But you can lose your inheritance, absolutely. You can be spewed out of Jesus' mouth at the judgment seat of Christ after we get raptured out of here. 100% that's true. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Revelation chapter 3. And the last church before the rapture is removed in the rapture because it has become lukewarm, useless. But what does Jesus say, starting in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20? This is where you and I get in. This is where you and I get in. Revelation 3, starting in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. Guest Jerry in the chat room just said, I really like this site, but the constant pre-trib rapture statements are over the top. Not a salvation requirement. You are correct about your second statement. Well, you're correct about the first statement too. We are one of the main places on the internet and one of the last organizations to stand unashamedly on the King James Bible only, on Bible doctrine, on rightly dividing, on being dispensationally correct. Church after church after church have fallen away. Organizations, outreaches, ministries, one after the other have all fallen away. Now, you don't have to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture to be saved. Not at all. I've never said that. But what I have said is if you are saved and you rightly divide your Bible, you do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I have never in 30 years, never met one person who rightly divided the Bible that was not pre-trib rapture. Because when you fulfill 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's where you see the pre-trib rapture. There's where you see the difference between Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. There is where you see 1,000 years of a literal, visible, physical rule and reign of Jesus Christ in Israel on the throne of David. There's where you see all that stuff. And now the end begins. I believe some of the reasons why God is expanding us to the level that he is that we are a praying group of people. How many times do we're doing a podcast today. We're doing a podcast on End Times News. And we started off by praying for each other. I believe that God honors that. We stand on the King James Bible as the sole source of God's preserved word. Now, do maybe we go too far when we get to heaven? Is it possible that Jesus might take me off to the side and said, hey, you did okay with the ministry that I gave you, but you were a little bit too emphatic about that King James Bible. I know that Ecclesiastes says, where the word of a king is, there is power. But you were a little bit too militant about that King James Bible. I don't think Jesus Christ would say that to me at all. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God has placed his word above all of his name. Psalm 138 verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So we stand on the King James Bible as our sole source of authority. Does that offend some people? You bet. We stand and preach and teach Bible doctrine, like eternal security. We teach once saved, always saved. We teach the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We teach the seven mysteries that the Apostle Paul was given by Jesus Christ in Damascus. These are the things that we stand on. We put a huge emphasis on personal work and salvation and soul winning. We put an enormous focus on getting people motivated to get something done for Jesus Christ while there is still time. Now, are these old-fashioned things? You bet they are. Is a lot of the music that we play, is it old-fashioned? It certainly is. But there's a biblical reason for that. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We want the old paths. We look for the good way. And that's why we tell people constantly, if you have an RSV, ASV, NIV, the message, Good News for Modern Man, every single person who will take that version of the Bible and take it and throw it in the garbage, and if you'll email me info@nowtheendbegins.com, we will send you a $25 Ruckman Reference King James Bible, completely free, no strings attached. We'll even pay for the shipping. And why do we do that? We do it for two reasons. Because we want you to have the Word of God. The NIV is not the Word of God. It is a perversion of the Word of God. The Douay Rheims Roman Catholic Bible is not the Word of God. The ASV, the RSV, the NIV, the Message, Good News for Modern Man, the Cipher Bible, they are not the preserved Word of God. And if that offends you, then you need to be offended. But we are not backing down from this fight. One of the reasons why I'm so on fire today is my faith was tested on Tuesday. My faith was tested in a way and in a manner in which I never saw coming. Never, ever in a million years, I never saw or even thought that my faith could be tested in that way. But it was. And it really hit me very, very, very hard. The Bible says this in Zechariah 13, verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Have you ever been wounded in the house? Now, that's talking about Jesus Christ. Doctrinally speaking, Zechariah 13, verse 6 is talking about Jesus Christ being crucified and betrayed by his own people, the Jewish people, who called for his execution and desired that Barabbas, a murderer, a person who took life, be set free, and the person that gives life, Jesus Christ, be crucified. Zechariah 13, verse 6 is a prophecy of Jesus Christ being crucified. But devotionally and spiritually, Zechariah 13, verse 6 talks about betrayal. Zechariah 13, verse 6 talks about getting wounded in a place where you thought you had protection. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I'm going to be preaching a message on this Sunday morning, Lord willing, 11 o'clock. On our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service, and I hope that you'll join us, where our topic is going to be wounded in the house of my friends. Now, my faith was tested on Tuesday. At the same time, I was exposed to germs, and my throat started getting very scratchy, and I thought that I was catching a cold or a flu. And at the same time that I was dealing with physical attacks, I also had to deal with a very deep-seated personal attack, spiritual attack. And for about 48 hours, it really had me very low and had me very, very down. But the Lord brought me through. The Lord gave me clarity. The Lord gave me vision. Susan says those attacks are like friendly fire, totally unexpected. Absolutely. Friendly fire is a great way to look at it. But dead is still dead. Doesn't matter if you get shot by a friend or shot by an enemy. But the point of what I'm saying is I spent Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday really examining this ministry that the Lord has given me. Am I called to do it? Do I have scriptural authority to do what I do? And I went to the Lord and I brought my case. I've never been to Bible school. Some people would think that that would rule me out. I have been divorced. Some people would say that that would disqualify me. I have long hair. Some people say that would disqualify me. But a funny thing happened is when I took it to the Lord and I laid my burdens down with tears, real tears, not metaphorical tears, but when I laid my burden down before the Lord with real tears, and I said, God, you need to show me, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And the verse he gave me is, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. And God asked me one question through my tears and through my seeking his face and through like Elijah and that depression that settled over him. God asked me one question and he says, I'm asking God, have you really called me to do this? And God answered, he just flipped that around and says, well, what do you think? Have I called you to do this? And I began to think about the last 12 years of doing Now the End Begins and how it's been the joy of my heart to do this ministry. And I'm thinking about all the millions, and I mean that literally, millions of people who visit Now the End Begins every single year. And I think about the hundreds of thousands of people who listen to our podcasts and our Bible studies on a regular basis. And I think about all the people who have gotten saved through Now the End Begins and all the testimonies that I've heard through people who are part of Now the End Begins who got on fire from a message or from an article and they got a burden for strangers or a loved one or a family member or whatever, and God used that to get people saved. And I think about all the things that Now the End Begins stand for, and I listed them before. The King James Bible, praying as a church family, worshiping as a church family, lifting up Jesus Christ, sending out Bibles, sending out gospel tracts. We're coming up on 1 million NTEB gospel tracts that we have either sold, given away, or handed out on the streets. 1 million NTEB gospel tracts. And I don't know about you, but that for me is a big number. And that's very, very exciting. Mike 1611 says, show full proof of the ministry. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. There is so much fruit. I'm not talking fruit for me. I'm talking fruit for all of us. And I have never been part, in the 30 years that I've been saved, I have never been part of a church family like Now the End Begins. This is real. This is not something that's an imaginary thing. We are a real church family. We are a New Testament assembly. We may not meet in a brick and mortar church. We may meet by very unconventional means, but man, oh man, we meet, and we meet every single day. We have Bible study twice a week. We have worship service Sunday morning. We have podcasts Monday and Friday. We meet in the comment sections on social media and on the articles that we do. We pray for each other. We help each other. Man, oh man, we are a church family. And when the Bible says in the book of Hebrews to neglect not the assembling together of yourselves, and so much more as you see, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching, we're assembled. There's hundreds of us in the chat room right now. There's thousands of us listening. We are assembled. And so, when I got done over the last 3 days of wrestling with the Lord and, you know, man, oh man, sometimes we just all become like little children, don't we? And we just need a pat on the head from our Father. And God knows that. God knows that. God says to us who are fathers on earth, he says, and ye fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children, and I'm paraphrasing, but how much more shall your heavenly Father give to those who ask him? And I just needed a pat on the head and some spiritual reassurance from my heavenly Father, and he gave it to me in bucket loads. And so I am absolutely on fire. I am ready to go. And that was the introduction to today's podcast. What are we talking? Oh, man, right? Right? There's never a dull moment on the front lines of the end times. Now, let's talk about this Reddit scandal. A lot of people don't know what it is. I do not play the stock market. I have no stock. I don't have any investments. All of my investments are spiritual. I have invested everything that I have in the things of God's kingdom. I invest my time. I invest my money. I invest everything that God has given me, the talents. He's given me a talent to be a graphic artist. He's given me a talent to be a musician. He's given me talent to be a Bible teacher and a preacher. And I do all of these things. He's given me talent to be a pastor. And I use all of these gifts that God has given me. And that is what I invest in. I invest in other people. I invest where God tells me to go invest. God says, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, Luke chapter 12, that my house may be full. Now, I understand, doctrinally speaking, that's talking about tribulation saints, but we can certainly apply it to personal work in the church age. Go out into the highways and byways and preach the gospel of the grace of God. Well, that isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Be instant, in season, out of season, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth unto fables. And that's when he says, make full proof of thy ministry. But with the stock market, there has been a all this hubbub about the Reddit website, and they got all their people together, and they began to see if they could raise the stock price of GameStop, not by doing anything that's illegal, but if they could raise the stock price of GameStop by investing in it. And they were testing the power of the Reddit social media network. And they got a lot of people to start buying certain stocks, and it worked. The value of those stocks began to increase, in some cases, by 900%. And people started to make a lot of money. But the hedge fund managers and the Wall Street global elites and the global bankers, they began to lose money. Now, again, I have to stress to you, if you don't understand what this whole Reddit GameStop thing is, the Reddit people, they're called Redditors, the Redditors didn't do anything wrong. They simply invested in the stock market as a group, as a large body of people, which is 100% legal. And when they began to make a lot of money, a group stepped in and said, you can't do that, because if we let you make this money, we're going to lose money. And then they stepped in, and that's where the illegality started. So the first clip I want to play for you today is a clip. Some of you may know him. His name is Dave Portnoy. And Dave Portnoy has a website called Barstool Sports, and he does pizza reviews. He goes around to different pizza places all across America, and he says his catchphrase is one bite. Everybody knows the rules, and it has made him a multimillionaire. His company is now worth just under $1 billion, and he has a personal wealth of $450 million. And he earned it all legally. Tucker had Dave Portnoy on his show talking about GameStop and the Reddit revolt. Dave Portnoy is a man who speaks very simply, very easy to understand. He may be a billionaire, but he is absolutely a blue-collar person. He came up the hard way, and he worked for what he has. So let's take a listen so that we can better understand what's going on with the Reddit GameStop stock scandal. Here's Dave Portnoy on Tucker last night. Take a listen.
He's the founder of Barstool Sports, as well as an independent investor who trades an awful lot online and has done well. Dave Portnoy joins us now to explain exactly what this moment means. Dave, this kind of gets to the heart of what you've been doing under quarantine. And I'm wondering what lessons we can draw from this. What is happening exactly?
You know, I've been trading heavily since quarantine started, and I was shocked by this. I personally did invest in AMC and Nokia. Those are two of the stocks that the Reddit guys and the Wall Street Bets guys were pushing. I believed in the power of the internet. When I saw what Robinhood was doing, ironically, Robinhood take from the rich and give to the poor, even though they do the exact opposite, I was stunned. I think it's criminal. I think there has to be an investigation. I think people have to go to jail. Whether that actually happens, I don't know. But I've never been more convinced about market manipulation and the people, the hedge funds, controlling the game than today. I mean, just to wake up and say, hey, you can't trade these stocks anymore. You can only sell them. We are going to intentionally crash the market in these stocks. And everyone who has it, tough. You're going to lose a ton of money. But we're going to save the rich people and the hedge funds. Shocking. Like in 20 years of me doing Barstool, I'm not exaggerating. It's the most shocked I've been. And maybe I shouldn't be. But, you know, when you have AOC and Donald Trump Jr. both on the same right. side of an issue, you know something's dramatically wrong.
This seems like a betrayal of the basic promise of American public markets, which is their transparency, purely meritocratic. That's why you've been able to make dough during quarantine. You make a bet, you're right, you win. I mean, how amazing is it to discover that that's not real?
Apparently, it's real for them. And I love the lectures. You hear it from the hedge funds and the suits, as I call them. But they'll say they're protecting you and we're protecting you versus yourself. And people don't understand the risk and margin. And then you look at them, it's like, buddy, look in the mirror. You're doing the same thing. The hedge funds are betting against companies. We're betting on them with money and margin. We're doing the same thing. The only difference is we're winning and you're getting your teeth kicked in. And you just said, time out. We're changing the rules. And it's bananas. It cannot happen. And I saw the Robinhood guy, Vlad, he's on TV. He's lying through his teeth. The thing that really is scary, Robinhood, I'm going to give this guy a shred of credit. When he woke up and he said, we're going to halt trading and ruin our client base, he knew that was the end of Robinhood. Robinhood's done. That company will cease to exist because what they built it on, the day trader, the retail trader, they're never right. going back. So he willingly blew up his company today. He knew that was going to happen. Why? Who's in the back end? Who's pulling the strings? Who's making the decisions? We have to find out. And by the way, it's not enough just to be like, oh, we're going to slap you on the wrist and give you a fine. These are billionaires. They can write billion-dollar checks like we write $10 checks. Somebody has to go to jail for this. This is intentional market manipulation. And it's everyday people. It's just not the Reddit people. I have people right. hitting me up all the time today, yesterday. They're putting their rent into this. They got caught up in the momentum. And if you lose money fair and square, fine. But nobody was under the impression somebody could just press the stop button and say, guess what? We can crash this stock without you having any say. You can only sell it. You can't buy it. What happened? This is like the movie Wall Street. It's insane.
I just read a piece about 15 minutes ago that said, and it seemed right, that Robinhood's real customer is not retail investors like you. Its real customer is the hedge funds. They sell data on trades to the hedge funds, which use it to their advantage. Assuming that's true, did you know that?
Well,
do you think anyone who used Robinhood knew that?
I didn't know that. I did not know that till today. I don't think anybody knew a lot of the things that were going on till today. Again, Robinhood was operating under the guise that this was a retail trading platform. A lot of people said I helped build it because we had all our retail bros, as they call them, going there. They literally in their bio said they're going to democratize trading. It's the exact opposite. And now they're saying we're going to go back to normal tomorrow. We're going to let everybody do our normal trading tomorrow. Well, Tucker, what changed? Oh, I'll tell you what changed. The billionaire hedge funds, they got out of their shorts tonight. So what? Why is this behavior not risky tomorrow, but it was today? It's because they're being pulled by strings. It's criminal behavior, what happened today. Yeah. Plain and simple, people have to go to jail. Plain and simple.
Best description I've heard. I got to ask you before you go. Several weeks ago, you announced you were starting this fund to help businesses, a lot of restaurants that were hurt by the corona shutdowns. You're starting to raise money. How much did you raise and how's it gone?
We are closing in on $33 million raised. Over 200 businesses we've helped. We have over 200,000 people have donated to it. And it's, you know, again, I'm a prickly guy, but it's been gratifying to be able to help. And thank you to everybody who's donated. We continue to do it, but we're helping a lot of small businesses and a lot of employees and a lot of communities. So it's been great. It really has.
It's amazing. You're like your own federal agency at this point, helping people when others won't. I appreciate it. Dave Portnoy, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Tucker.
So there was Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports talking about the Reddit stock scandal with GameStop. The Reddit people didn't do anything wrong. Now, Cheryl in the chat room was asking, what is Reddit? Reddit.com. Reddit.com is a social media news website. They've been around for quite a while. And they are an extremely popular website, not just for social media news, but when you go to Alexa traffic ranking, and that's one of the oldest ranking services in the world to tell you the type of web traffic that a site gets, Reddit.com is the 18th most visited website on the face of the earth. And it is the 7th most visited website in America. So that would give you just a little bit of an idea on how big and how popular Reddit.com actually is. Its reach is very vast and very far and very wide. Many times over the years, Now the End Begins has received links, traffic from links from people on Reddit talking about something that we talked about. And what Reddit does is they have groups and they have little chat rooms that they set up, and you create a thread. If you want to talk about Joe Biden, or you want to talk about Donald Trump, or you want to talk about stock markets or whatever, you could set up a thread. You want to talk about the end times, you want to talk about Bible prophecy, and they have a number of threads. There's a lot of Christians over on Reddit.com. But Reddit.com has been around for a while, and it is a social media news and commentary website. And they have a lot of power because they have a lot of people. Kind of like with Now the End Begins. Now that we've been reaching this phase where God has expanded our borders to the point where we're having people from France and Brazil and Argentina and New Zealand and Australia. And we even have listeners in China. We have listeners in Egypt and Israel and all over the world. And the larger that your particular group gets and the more people that you have, well, it just stands to reason the more influence that that gives you. And so what happened with the Reddit scandal, and it's not called a scandal because the followers of Reddit.com were buying stock. It's a scandal because how Wall Street reacted, how the hedge funds reacted, and when the people from Reddit got together and pooled their resources, because the hedge funds had lost up to $70 billion, with a B, dollars, because the Reddit people were such a large group of people that they had completely changed the trajectory of GameStop stock. GameStop is a company that sells new and used video games and audio games. If you want to get a Wii console, or you want to get a PlayStation, or you want to get a Game Boy, or you want to get certain video games, or whatever you want to get, Many times over the years when my kids were younger, I would get them a Christmas present from GameStop. So GameStop has been around at least for 15, 16, maybe even 20 years. But it was only about a month ago that GameStop stock was trading at around $39 a share. And when the people from Reddit began to buy this stock and sell it in large numbers, the value went from $39 to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So can you imagine what it would be like if you had a $10,000 investment in GameStop a month ago, and now it's gone up 10 times, and now your $10,000 has become $100,000? So where does the scandal happen? The scandal happened because the hedge fund people and the people who run Wall Street, the same people who receive the bailouts, and the Republicans have given just as much of a bailout to Wall Street as the Democrats, and don't think for a single second that Trump did anything differently, because he did not. And for decades now, the United States federal government and the Federal Reserve has given so much money to Wall Street bankers and to Wall Street hedge funds and investment companies. And when their investments go down, they stand up and they say to the government, "You can't let us fail." And the government gives them millions and billions. And in some cases, they give them a trillion or 2 trillion. And this is very evil. This is why people don't trust the Federal Reserve system. This is why people don't trust federal banking, because it's a very sketchy proposition. Last year, when they had the bailout, and not everybody, I certainly didn't get one, but when a certain group of people received those $1,200 stimulus checks, well, that was part of, a $1.9 trillion bailout. Well, who got the rest of that money? Where did all that money go? Well, that money went to Wall Street bankers and large corporations and plane companies and boat companies and cruise lines. Why would you bail out the cruise line? Who even needs the cruise line? I mean, you talk about an extravagant luxury, but yet they're hooked up with the Wall Street system, and that's exactly what happened. So that first clip that I played for you was Dave Portnoy with Tucker talking about, in very simplistic means, now Tucker is going to take it one step further, and he's going to give you a little bit more. He's going to lift that cover back a little bit more, and he's going to show you how this connects with the federal government, especially with the Biden administration. Take a listen to Tucker explaining the GameStop stock scandal.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Quite a day in financial markets, not a phrase we use a lot on this show, but a lot happened today and there are massive implications for all of us. Dave Portnoy joins us in a moment to explain what those are. But first, some context for what we're watching right now. Last March, as the country began to panic about the arrival of a strange new coronavirus from China, a billionaire called Bill Ackman went on television in an attempt to make America even more afraid than it already was. "Our economy may be done at this point," he said. "Over, dead, not coming back." Bill Ackman went on like this for 28 full minutes. Terrified CNBC viewers watched slack-jawed as he ranted. Here's part of his performance.
"Hell is coming. This was a feeling like I've never had, like there's a tsunami coming, right? The tsunami's coming in. You feel it in the air, right? The tide starts to roll out, okay? And on the beach, people are playing and having fun like there's nothing going on. And that is the feeling I've had for the last 2 months, okay? And my colleagues at work, okay, thought I was a lunatic. We need to shut it down now. America will end as we know it, okay? I'm sorry to say so, okay, unless we take this option."
Bill Ackman was afraid, and he wanted you to be afraid. Ackman was especially frightened for the future of Hilton Hotels. Hilton Hotels, Ackman proclaimed, quote, is going to zero, along with every other hotel company in the world. Every hotel is going to be shut down in the country. Every one. Talk about scary. But in the end, not for Bill Ackman. Not long after that appearance, we learned that Ackman's firm had made more than $2 billion from trading in the stocks that many people believed he had pushed down with the hysterically dire predictions you just saw, including Hilton Hotels. So was Ackman's rant on CNBC part of a very dishonest investment strategy? It seemed pretty obvious, so we said so on the air. Ackman's lawyers immediately threatened to sue us. In a long phone conversation later, Ackman swore to us that his public attack on Hilton Hotels had nothing at all to do with his desire to buy hotel stocks at a lower price or with the billions in profit that his firm subsequently reported. There was no connection whatsoever. He promised. And he sounded emotional as he said it. We'll let you assess Bill Ackman's sincerity. We do know that this kind of behavior is common on Wall Street. Ackman himself once attacked the company Herbalife on television. It's going to zero, he once again predicted, in an effort to profit from Herbalife's decline. Pretty ugly. But that kind of thing happens a lot on Wall Street. Hedge fund managers bet money that a specific stock will decline in value. That's called short selling. Short selling has no obvious value to the American economy. Short selling exists for the purpose of enriching the people who do it. Short selling hurts companies, obviously. It hurts their investors, hurts their employees. Ultimately, it hurts our country itself. Yet it continues. No one does anything about short selling. Regulators ignore it. CNBC applauds the brilliance of the people who do it. Oh, they're so clever, those hedge fund managers. In fact, NBC's Business Channel regularly lends its airwaves to unscrupulous short sellers who use free TV airtime, you may have seen this, to tank American companies for profit. They do that all the time. The last administration did nothing to stop this. The current administration certainly won't. The Biden White House is more tightly controlled by business interests.
Did you hear where Tucker said the last administration did nothing to stop this? He was talking about the Trump administration. And that's very, very true. And when you, it doesn't matter who the president of the United States is. Doesn't matter whether it's Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan, Joe Biden, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. This thing has already been set up that the Wall Street bankers, who do you think created the Federal Reserve System? Maybe one of these days we need to do a specific show on how the Federal Reserve System, which was created in 1913, came to be. There was a man by the name of Paul Warburg, and he said he stood up before the United States Senate in 1952, and he was a American-German banker. And James Paul Warburg stood up in front of the Senate, and he talked about the coming New World Order. He said this. Actually, not in 1952, it was February 17th of 1950, and he appeared before the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. We have talked before about the CFR, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, and that is one of those New World Order groups. Remember that clip that we've played for you about the Barney Miller show and the predictive programming about the CFR and David Rockefeller and the New World Order? Remember that article we did a couple weeks ago with the photograph showing Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates Sr. and George Soros and David Rockefeller and members of the fake news media back in 2001? You know, these things have been going on for decades. James Paul Warburg stood up February 17th, 1950, before the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, and he said this scary, scary thing. James Paul Warburg said, "We shall have world government." That's the New World Order right there, my friend. Whether we like it or not, the only question is whether world government will be achieved by consent or by conquest. That was James Paul Warburg, February 17th of 1950. I've been talking a lot about that graphic that original first graphic that I made for Now the End Begins all those years ago. And here it is. I just put it into the chat room. Look on the right-hand side, right above where it says it is written and right below the NTEB logo. We have had that quote as part of our original branding and marketing for 12 years now. And James Paul Warburg said, "We shall have world government whether we like it or not. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by consent or by conquest." This is how world government is achieved. First thing that you have to do, you have to have a global crisis. Go backwards, flashback to March of 2020. The COVID crisis comes to America. And then we go into 15 days to flatten the curve. Remember that? Remember 15 days to flatten the curve? That wasn't Joe Biden. That wasn't Barack Obama. That was Donald Trump. We are still in 15 days to flatten the curve, and it's coming up on a year later. Well, it's 10, if that was March 18th, and today is, well, we're almost in February. That was 46 weeks ago, almost a year ago, just under a year ago, 15 days to flatten the curve. Let me ask you a question. Here we are almost a year later. Has the curve flattened? No. But let me tell you something. I live in St. Johns County, Florida, in a town called St. Augustine, and let me see what today's COVID rates are where I live. Now, you hear the fake news media talking constantly about Florida this and Florida that, and everything is so bad in Florida. Today, we have had, to date, 17,918 cases of COVID-19 coronavirus. Of those 17,918 cases we have had over the last 46 weeks, in my county of St. Johns County, Florida, that has resulted in 160 deaths. Now, sometimes those deaths will hit very close to home. One of those 160 deaths was a man by the name of John Roth, who sat behind me for 3 years at church. And we prayed for him while he was sick, but the Lord decided to take him home. So when I look at that number, that's a very, very, very small number. That is less than 1% of all COVID cases have resulted in somebody dying. But sometimes, even with a number that small, you know one of those people, and I know one of those people, and it's a heartbreakingly sad thing. There's no question about it. But you do not shut down a state. You do not shut down a county, and you definitely don't shut down an entire country for a pathogen that kills less than 1% of the people who are infected with it. You don't make those people wear masks. You don't make those people go into isolation if they're not sick. Anthony Fauci himself laughed at the idea back in June of 2020. Anthony Fauci laughed at the idea of Americans wearing a mask.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Now, that was Anthony Fauci who said that back in June of 2020. And he later reversed his position, and then he went so far as to say that his comments were taken out of context, and he never told people to not wear a mask. Well, we just played for you the comment, and we played for you the context. You tell me if you think that Anthony Fauci said don't wear a mask, because not only did he say that, he repeated that multiple times. So what does the GameStop stock scandal with Reddit have to do with COVID-19, with the New World Order, and with the Biden administration? Well, they are all connected. And one of the things that you have to train your mind, if you're going to understand things properly, is you have to have the 8-mile view, as I like to say. An airplane will travel roughly at 35,800 feet above the ground. And that's roughly 8 miles up in the air. And if you're going to understand what's happening in the end times, you need to get in your plane and go all the way up to 35,000 feet and then look down. And when you go up to 35,000 feet and you look down, you begin to see that all of these events that are seemingly not connected are actually extremely well connected. And that's what we're seeing now. The Biden administration, he was a guy who said when he was campaigning, when on the occasional times that he came out of his basement, he said that using executive orders to legislate was something that was a sign of a corrupt administration. And that I wish I had that clip, but I don't, because I didn't have time to assemble that with everything else that I had to do today. But Joe Biden signed 42 executive actions, 32 of those executive actions he signed on the very, very first day. And what were some of the things that he was so concerned about that he needed to sign all those executive actions on the very, very first day? Well, he signed a order stating that taxpayer funds of the United States taxpayer will now begin to go to fund overseas and international abortions. You remember that Joe Biden said constantly during the campaign process that he was a strong Catholic. And Joe Biden said repeatedly that his Catholic faith has got him through many, many times. Pope Francis has said what a great and strong Catholic that Joe Biden is. And Pope Francis has remarked repeatedly on Joe Biden's strong Catholic faith. Joe Biden on day one signed an order to have babies executed internationally with the U.S. taxpayer paying for it. Now, when Donald Trump was president, Donald Trump would not allow that to take place. Joe Biden thought that the very idea of U.S. taxpayers not being forced to fund overseas abortions was something that was abhorrent to the Democratic Party. So on day one, Joe Biden reverses something that's called the Mexico City policy. And this was something that Donald Trump had put in place to protect unborn babies. And on day one, Joe Biden decides it's time to get rid of that policy and allow the millions and millions and millions of dollars from U.S. taxpayers to begin to flow overseas and fund these abortions of babies. Now, it kind of boggles my mind. And if you're a born again, saved Christian, it boggles your mind too. Not just that Democrats want the ability to abort their babies. That's one thing. But it is the absolute fervor and excitement that they get. Have you ever seen those videos that show in a different foreign country where they finally allow abortion, and the video shows you thousands of women on the streets of that city's capital, and they're there demanding the right to abort their babies. And on the day where the country finally passes that law, and they have tears coming out of their eyes. They're not weeping for the babies that they're killing. They are crying tears of joy because their government is now going to allow them to murder their own unborn baby. That, to me, is a mental sickness that can only be explained by the rising spirit of Antichrist. That's the only way that you can come to that conclusion. It's one thing to have an abortion. It's wrong, but it's one thing to have an abortion because you can't pay for a baby or you were raped by somebody. But it's a completely different... Now, I'm not saying abortion is right under any circumstances. Don't get me wrong. I am 100% anti-abortion. I'm just trying to draw a parallel between somebody who is getting an abortion because they feel that they have no other way out and they feel trapped. And I'm comparing that to people who are demanding the right to abort their baby, and they weep tears of joy when that right is granted to them. There is something very, very mentally sick about that. There is something that is very, very wrong about that. I told you earlier about the Great Reset. Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., and David Rockefeller all photographed together at the Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy Awards 2 months after 9/11. This same Anthony Fauci that is in front of us today, do you think it's an accident that Anthony Fauci, who's been around for 40 years, who in 2010 was tapped by Bill Gates to head up and have a leadership role in his Global Vaccine Action Committee? Anthony Fauci is one of the dark minions of the New World Order, and he has been around for a long, long, long time. And Anthony Fauci was around when back in the 1980s when my brother was diagnosed with HIV. And Anthony Fauci issued guidance to America's doctors, and he told them that they needed to start prescribing a medicine. I don't even want to call it a medicine. It's a treatment known as AZT. And AZT was a failed chemotherapy from the 1950s. And AZT is the literal, it is the pharmaceutical equivalent of having somebody put Drano into your bloodstream through an intravenous drip. AZT is one of the most diabolically deadly pharmaceutical nightmare chemicals that have ever been created. AZT is nothing but pure poison. And when my brother started to take it, after he was diagnosed to be HIV positive, almost immediately, Sharon just said it's rat poison. That's exactly what it is. It is rat poison. And when my brother started to take it, within a matter of days, he began to be very, very ill. And the doctor said, oh, Your HIV is progressing. And then Dr. Fauci said, give him a higher dosage. So America's doctors began to prescribe a higher dosage. And then in a relatively short period of time, about 18 months, my brother died. He did not die of HIV. He didn't die of AIDS. My brother died from a heart attack at the age of 33 and liver failure. Two things that are completely consistent with AZT poisoning. His heart couldn't take it, and his liver absolutely could not take it. Anthony Fauci is that same man who prescribed that for my brother 33 years ago. He is the same person who is today He is the highest paid federal employee in the United States. Nobody has a higher salary than Anthony Fauci. He makes almost $500,000. His salary is higher than the president's salary of the United States. And why is Anthony Fauci, this ridiculous fraud, this low information, scientifically ignorant and duplicitous person, the highest paid employee of the federal government? Because he is being rewarded for his long and faithful service to the New World Order. And all of these things began to be triggered in 2020. Now, we told you last year that 2020 was simply as crazy as last year was. It was just getting everything in place, and it was setting the table for the big thing that was going to come. Now, Joe Biden has been in office for exactly 8 days. Can you believe? I mean, doesn't it seem like he's been in office for months and months already? Let me just give you a couple of highlights of the Joe Biden administration. Here we are in 8 days. He's ruling by executive order. Back at a town hall in October, Joe Biden says this: "I have this strange notion that we are a democracy. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We are a democracy. We need consensus." So Joe Biden, back in October, said that when a president began to rule by executive order, Joe Biden said that president must be considered a dictator. Joe Biden said that at a town hall back in October. So by his own definition, 8 days into his presidency, Joe Biden is a dictator. Not according to me, not according to you. Joe Biden is a dictator according to what he said at a town hall meeting back in October, where he said executive order rule is what dictators do. Number two, Joe Biden broke his pledge to seek unity, and he is now backing a Senate impeachment trial for Donald Trump. Trump has not committed any known crime. Moreover, the Constitution does not provide for a former president to be impeached. It's amazing, isn't it? Joe Biden, when he ran for president, he talked about healing and he talked about unity. Now, 8 days as president, he is backing the illegal push by the United States Congress to have Donald Trump, who is no longer the president. I know if you're a QAnon believer, you think he's coming back, but he's not. Donald Trump is not the president of the United States. He is not in Florida in exile. His term is over. He is living in Florida as a private citizen. And I'm sure he's going to come back on some level, but he's not coming back as president of the United States, at least not for another 4 years. But it is unconstitutional to try to impeach a former president. The whole point of impeachment is to have a president removed from office. Impeachment is the removal of a president. It is unconstitutional to try and impeach somebody who is no longer the president of the United States. So, 8 days into his rule of terror as the dictator he said that he was back in October, Joe Biden has now broken his pledge to seek unity, and now it is pure politics, and he's playing to his base. Fortunately, Rand Paul stood up, and he declared this to be unconstitutional, which it absolutely is, and 45 senators are now siding with Rand Paul. There is no chance that this impeachment will be successful. Rand Paul famously said that impeachment of Donald Trump in the United States Senate is dead on arrival. But that is not. Now, if you were Joe Biden, why would you be wanting to back such a measure that has absolutely no chance to succeed? Who was it that Dick Morris famously said that Democrats are vicious winners? That's a great quote. Democrats are vicious winners. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We are seeing the spirit of Antichrist. Now, that's not limited to the Democratic Party. There's lots of people on the Republican side who exhibit the spirit of Antichrist. There's no question about that. But man, oh man, do we see it in bucket loads in the Democratic Party. Number three, the Biden administration has not done one single thing to challenge the ongoing social media censorship that is happening across the country. You would think that for somebody who ran on a platform of unity and healing, somebody who says that the Democratic Party stands for liberty and for freedom, that's what they used to stand for, that's what they claim that they stand for. So why on earth would you not speak out against censorship? That to me is absolutely mind-boggling. Joe Biden attacked the private sector. Day one in office, he got rid of 11,000 jobs by canceling the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline and suspending oil and gas leasing on federal lands. He has done this even though there is no benefit to the planet. This has nothing to do with the Green New Deal. This has nothing to do with climate change. This has to do with the further work of destroying the economy. And that's exactly where Reddit and the GameStop stock scandal figures in. The people who control the hedge funds, they are trying to destroy the people who made money off of their stocks. And everywhere that you look, economies are being ripped to shreds and they're being torn down. Now, we only have about 10 minutes left, and I just want to switch gears for a moment. 2 days ago, it was the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I just want to take about 10 minutes, and I just want to speak a few words about the Holocaust, especially to anyone who claims to be a Christian and says that the Holocaust was not real, that the Holocaust didn't happen, that maybe it did happen, but it wasn't as bad as people say it was. Let me tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian and you deny the Holocaust, you are against God. Don't call yourself a Christian and then try and deny that something that is a literal type picture of the Great Tribulation. That's exactly what happened with the Holocaust. A literal type picture of what's going to take place in the time of Jacob's trouble. And it was, I'm going to play a clip that's going to blow you away. It was not just 6 million people. That was the amount of Jews. And for years, we thought that it was 12 million people that were killed in total in the concentration camps, because Hitler also didn't like communists. He didn't like gypsies. He didn't like homosexuals. He didn't like people who had medical ailments. He didn't like Down syndrome people. But I'm going to play a clip for you. This is not overly new, but some of you may not have heard it. Back in 2006, Germany opened up the archives. And these were archives that had been sealed since World War II. And there were 16 square miles worth of information on... No, that's not the right number. Anyway, I can't think of how large this is right off of my head. But there were 17 million names that they found in the German archives of people who were cataloged and killed in Hitler's concentration camps. 17 million names. And I'm just going to play this clip for you, and I want you to hear how amazing this is and how mad that it makes me when I hear pretend pastors like Steven Anderson, who thankfully, hopefully, has been removed from the scene and from the national discussion. But man, oh man, how it used to make me fuming when he would talk about how the Holocaust wasn't real and it didn't really happen. Take a listen to this from 60 Minutes. This is actually a rebroadcast of a program from 2006 talking about the 17 million people that were found to be killed. 17 million, not 12 million. 17 million people, of whom 6 million of those people were Jews who were killed in Hitler's concentration camps. Take a listen to this.
60 Minutes Rewind.
You're about to see for the first time secrets of the Nazi Holocaust that have been hidden away for more than 60 years. We're not talking about a missing filing cabinet. We're talking about thousands of filing cabinets holding 50 million pages. It's Hitler's secret archive. The Nazis were famous for record keeping, but what we found ran from the bizarre to the horrifying. This Holocaust history was discovered by the Allies in dozens of concentration camps as Germany fell in the spring of 1945. The documents were taken to a town in the middle of Germany called Bad Arolsen, where they were sorted, filed, and locked away, never to be seen by the public until now. The storerooms are immense, 16 miles of shelves holding the stories of 17 million victims, not only Jews, but slave laborers, political prisoners, and homosexuals. To open the files is to see the Holocaust staring back like it was yesterday. Strange pink Gestapo arrest warrants as lethal as a death sentence. Jewelry lost as freedom ended at the gates of an extermination camp. Time stopped here in 1945. We walked through the evidence with Chief Archivist Udo Jost. He showed us this list of 1,000 prisoners saved by a factory owner who told the Nazis he needed the prisoners' labor. This is Oskar Schindler's list, made famous by the Steven Spielberg movie.
Here are the 700 men and the 300 women whose names were on Schindler's list.
Esther Friedman, Rosa Friedlich, Raina Ferber, the people of Schindler's list.
We also found the file of Frank, Annalise Marie, better known as Anne Frank. It's her paper trail from Amsterdam to Bergen-Belsen, where she died at the age of 15. But most of the names here are unknown. Totenbuch means death book. And just look at the names of the executed, crowded onto pages, single-spaced. It must have been tiring just to write this, let alone kill them all.
Here we see the cause of death, executed. And you can see every 2 minutes they shot one prisoner.
So they shot a prisoner every 2 minutes for a little over an hour and a half.
Yes. Now look at the date. It's the 20th of April. That was Adolf Hitler's birthday. And this was a birthday present, a gift for the Führer. That's the bureaucracy of the devil.
So there you have it, just that little clip. And I'm going to put that video into the article that we did 2 days ago on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Right after the program is over, I'm going to put that video so you can see it for yourself, so you can see that these are real archives. And you'll be able to go to that article and see the video down at the bottom. But on April 20th, which was Adolf Hitler's birthday, as a birthday present, They shot two Jews every minute for an hour and a half. Can you imagine the mental and spiritual sickness that that takes? That is nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. And that's exactly what we're dealing with right now. America is being ruled by the spirit of Antichrist. The Biden administration, 8 days into it, they have slashed tens of thousands of jobs. They have authorized taxpayer funds to murder babies overseas and internationally. And it is an app from an end times perspective. America is literally turning into hell on earth. But that's exactly what you would expect to see if Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines was right around the corner and we were getting ready to get out of here in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for being a part of the NTEB family. And I hope that whatever of those prayer requests that you remember, please remember to lift these people, our brothers and sisters in NTEB, please, as much as you can, pray for each other, and wherever you can, help each other. If you can help somebody out with food or clothing or a word of encouragement, whatever you can do, we need to be doing that for each other. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today, Lord willing. We'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where our message will be Wounded in the House of My Friends. Have a great weekend, everybody.